Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews 11 and verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whomever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. We're doing a few Sundays on faith while I work out what to do after the summer. I sort of rephrase that. We do every Sunday on faith, I hope. And the day we turn away from faith is it's time to shut down, isn't it? But I'll put it like this. We're being even more explicit and direct in focusing on the importance of faith and everybody having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is so important because real faith is more important than wealth or health or popularity or success or power or beauty or security. Because without faith, spiritually, you're not secure. No matter how secure you think you might be, spiritually, you're not wealthy. You're not healthy, you're just lost. So I think it's really good that we get this text out here this morning and we dive into it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's one of the great statements about faith, and it comes in one of the great chapters about faith. But one thing I love about this verse, verse 6 in particular, is even if we take Hebrews 11 and Enoch out of the equation, because it's connected to him in verse 5, it still makes perfect sense and stands all by itself. It will still be saying all it needs to say. So I'm afraid at the beginning of the sermon there'll be some creaking sounds as we do some context ripping and we just lift verse 6 right out of its context and look at it as it stands by itself. But of course, it is connected to Hebrews 11 and it is connected to Enoch and it's got something to say about them. So we will fit everything back together, don't worry, by the end of the sermon. So let's look at this bold, unequivocal statement. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, it's important that we note that there's an objective here. The objective is not simply to get faith. What we're aiming for is pleasing God. And faith is what we're to exercise and to live by if we're going to please God. And I'll start by asking, is that something that you're interested in? Are you concerned about pleasing God? Do you want the favour and the approval of God to rest on you? Do you want God's smile and love and pleasure to be directed toward you when you live your life through each day and week and month and year? Do you want the Father just looking down on you, so pleased with this person? I guess there are some people here who are here under duress. You're here because you have to be. You haven't got any choice. Maybe you're not interested at all in God. You just have to be here. Well, I'm sorry for you. Actually, I'm not sorry at all, because you're in a good place where you get to hear about God, and maybe you'll be hearing something powerful for the first time today, so that you can't wait to be here next time. But I know that there are some people who, yeah, maybe they're not totally concerned about pleasing God. There are others here maybe because there's nothing else to do on a Sunday morning. The Sunday morning TV schedules are rubbish. there's nothing else open, and you get good coffee here, and the view, well, spectacular that way, not this way. But you're not necessarily really concerned about seeking God and pleasing God. Well, again, I hope you will be today, because we've got some powerful things to say. And I know that there are others here who are seeking God. And deep down, you've got this longing to know that you're right with God, and that his love and his favour rests on you, and that he's pleased with you. And that doesn't surprise me at all. The ones that surprise me are the ones who are not thinking about God. Because God has made us, and he's made us for himself. He's made us to enjoy him and to glorify him and to have fellowship with him. And we are completely incomplete until we come to God. You'll never, ever be satisfied until you know God's love and his grace and his fellowship through life. The Bible says, in him we exist and have our being. And the natural position is, I think, to be crying out for God. I guess that's why there's so much religion in the world. And despite the concerted efforts of God deniers, it just doesn't go away. People don't say, okay, let's finish with religion now. Let's pack it all in. We've moved on from God. There's billions of people who are deeply religious within this world because they want to know God. You don't get that in the animal kingdom, do you? The baboons and the blowfish and the bluebirds and the buffalo, they're not all meeting together talking about God, saying, how can we find God? They're just doing what baboons do, and buffalo and the other ones. I've forgotten what they were already. They're not concerned. They're just doing what they were created to do. You were created to know God. And so, as I say, billions of people throughout the world are seeking God, sadly, many, many, many through the wrong way, but they still do it. God's put eternity into our hearts. We believe deep down that there's purpose and there's meaning in this life. We long for all that's wrong to be put right one day, for there to be universal cosmic justice. We can't accept that this is all for nothing and futile and meaningless. We know that there is a God, and there's an eternity, and there's a meeting with God. We want to be right with this God. I do. I want to please God. I know I fail him totally, but even in the midst of failure, the gospel shines out, and there's an answer, there's a hope. Do you want to please him? Maybe you think it's easy and you're doing a great job already. You think God should be so pleased with your life. Well, by the end of this morning's sermon, you're not going to like me very much. And I better go and stand somewhere else in case you want to punch me by the end of the sermon. Because when you start taking God seriously and allowing God to speak for God, then the standards that God requires for us to please him, if we're going to do it ourselves, are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and our neighbour as ourself. And that's all of the time, everywhere, in everything. And I'm afraid you've already blown it. Yet it is possible to please this God. And we're told here about a man who did it. So how do we do it? So we come on to faith. And we need to note that faith is the only way. Look again at the text. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He doesn't say without faith, it is more difficult to please God. He says impossible. I went to Coventry last Sunday morning, or last Sunday, to preach, and The obvious way to get there is down the M27, up the M3, A34, M40, and then some other road, and you end up in Coventry. It's a long, boring journey, but it's pretty direct. If I'd wanted to, I guess I could have gone round the M27 up the A36. I could have gone through Salisbury, that's nice. And then I could have gone on to Westbury, got the A350. I could have gone up through Chippenham. I could have got the Fossway at that point up at Cirencester. I could have gone all through those wonderful Cotswolds villages, through Stow-on-the-Wold and all those strange places, and eventually got to Coventry. It would have taken a lot longer. I'd have had to have left at about 4 rather than 6. But I would eventually have got to my destination. Well, God says there is no other route to pleasing me. There's not the Fossway, Cotswold villagey one, or this one, or that one. There's just faith. Faith is the only way to please him. It's only through loving, listening, responding, depending, trusting, accepting faith that we draw near to God and please him. And that shuts up so many false doors to us. Let's name them. What about doing your best? Trying your hardest? That won't please God. And yet that makes us so angry with God, because it just doesn't seem fair, does it? Here's a person who's lived a selfish, violent, despicable life, and obviously God's displeased with... Sorry, I'm pointing at Dave. I didn't mean that at all. This awful life, and it's clear that God would be displeased with this fictitious person. And on the other hand, there's a person who's had a strict moral code. They've done their best. They paid their taxes. They've helped old ladies across roads, rescued cats from trees. They've done all manner of kind, nice things. And surely, whilst God is obviously displeased with this person, he must be really pleased with this person. That's got to be fair, hasn't it? And yet God says, no, doing your best doesn't please me. That's not to say there won't be different levels of judgment on the judgment day, but we're not able, by doing our best, to get God to love us. We're not in the realms of what is fair here. You see, even the best of us are sinners. And if God says, okay, let's do fair, then he says, the wages of sin is death. Every single one of you has sinned, and therefore I'll give you your wages, which is what you've earned. That's fair. And thank God he's prepared to deal with us in a way which isn't fair. He deals with us in a way which is called grace. Justice is fair, getting what we deserve. Mercy's lovely, it's not getting what we deserve, but it kind of leaves us in the middle. Grace is what God is like. He goes beyond this and he gives us what we don't deserve. Trying our hardest isn't the way to come to God and please him, because we've already failed. What about being religious? I mean, God's God. God must love religion and all of those things, because they're all about God, aren't they? What about doing our duty in church, praying, singing, giving, sitting through long sermons? Won't that please him? Well, no, not without faith. And the most religious people of all time, the Pharisees, who spent their whole lives trying to make God pleased with them, thinking that God was pleased with them, Jesus rebuked in the most terrible way. God hasn't asked us to earn his favour, like he's some boss of the big universal company, Creation PLC, and he'll promote those and be favourable to those who've put in the hardest, longest shift for him. That's such a misrepresentation of the true God. You don't earn from God, he gives. You don't buy his favour and love. You don't manipulate him into being on your side. There's one way. You come to him as the God that he is, a father, by faith in Jesus Christ, and he brings us to God. That's the theme of this whole letter. But interestingly, the writer of this letter says something more here. He says, without faith it's impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. I looked at that. That's a bit obvious, isn't it? And surely these Hebrew Christians, they got no problem with the fact that God existed. And this is a book which is so complex and powerful, and it's all about God, and it starts with that great statement about God. Why does he say, if you're going to please God, you need faith, and you need to believe that God exists? And I didn't have an answer to that. But then Hal Jones, one of the commentators, helped me out a lot. And he says, this doesn't mean that you believe he exists as opposed to being fictional or mythical, but that he ever lives in all of his attributes as the unchanging, eternal being. You believe that this God stands forever as the God that he's declared himself to be in Scripture. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He exists as the God that he is. He doesn't change. If he changed, you couldn't trust him, could you? If he said yes one day and then no the next. If he was like us, couldn't trust him. You have to believe that this God is the God that he has revealed himself to be, and he is an unchanging, unchangeable God. You're coming to a rock. You're coming to one who is a refuge. You're coming to one who is eternally a father to his people. You're coming to one who is loving and merciful and kind. And then that he rewards those who seek him. The assertion is that those who come to him on his terms, in his way, they will not be failed. And he will ensure that they will be rewarded. Do you know what the reward is? It's God himself. People who diligently, earnestly seek God in his way are rewarded with God. That's what God promised to Abraham. He said, I am your exceedingly great reward. Not, I'm just going to give you a great big reward. I'll give you Canaan. I'll give you horses and camels and donkeys and servants and cash and honor and tents and all nice things. God said, the greatest thing I'm going to give you is myself, a relationship with myself. If you diligently seek God through his terms, God will answer the cries of your heart in giving you himself. So what are these terms? What is his way? Well, as we've said, it's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this whole book is about. That's what the whole Bible's about. And the Hebrew Christians were in danger of looking back to the old pictures. They were just getting scared, thinking, is faith enough? Is Jesus enough? Because back before Jesus, we had priests, and they wore fancy clothes. And fancy clothes impressed people. And there were sacrifices going on all the time. And if there's something going on all the time, something's happening, isn't it? And you can see all of the blood flowing down off the altar in Jerusalem, and it's, something's being done. And we had a temple, we had a special house, and it was glorious. And the writer to the Hebrews is saying, but please just understand, these things were only pictures. They were illustrations given by God of what he's going to do through his Son, who is the one who will accomplish salvation and properly bring us back to God. You don't need those things when the reality is here. They were pictures. They were pointers pointing at Jesus. The theme of the book of Hebrews is probably Jesus is better than. You keep reading that as you go through the book. Jesus is better than the prophets. In the past, it starts off, God spoke in lots of different ways through lots of different people at different times. But finally, he's spoken to us through his Son, Jesus. The one who created the universe. The one who is the fullness of God's glory. The exact representation of his nature. He sent Jesus, not prophets anymore, Jesus, to declare God to you. You need the prophets because they tell you about Jesus, but only so far as they're pointing you to Jesus. He's God's last word. Jesus is so much better than the angels. Jesus is better than the high priests. They never, ever finished their work. They went on offering their sacrifices that couldn't take away sin. Hebrews says Jesus offered one sacrifice once. And then he sat down because he finished the work of sacrificing. He's better than the sacrificial system because he is the sacrifice. This high priest offered himself for our sins. He took all that was offensive in us, all that we couldn't pay for, all that was death deserving, all that was condemning us and bringing hell down on us. Jesus said, I'll carry that for you. And I'll bear that at Calvary. And my Father, who is a just and holy and awesome God, will punish me in my people's place. I'll take what they deserve so that they can receive what I deserve. His blood, Hebrews says, speaks of better things than that of Abel's. Abel, who was killed by his brother Cain, cried out for vengeance. Jesus' blood speaks of mercy and forgiveness and love. He's the one who brings us to God. It's through faith in Jesus that we can come accepted to God. If we could have done it ourselves, if we could have pleased God through our own activity and through our own efforts, do you think God would have sent Jesus to do all that for us? It's madness, isn't it? And if we think we can do it by ourselves, we are just heaping shame on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saying that was irrelevant. We didn't need you to do that. You think Jesus would have given up all of his glory, given up his reputation, given up his rights, given up his home, given up his comfort, given up his life, if we could have done it by ourselves? We couldn't. And again, another of the themes of Hebrews is we won't escape if we turn our back on God's salvation. We've got to hear, we've got to believe what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only through Jesus that we can be washed from our sins in his blood, clothed in his righteousness, and accepted fully through what he's done. And through Jesus, we draw near to God. And we worship him acceptably. He's pleased. We've listened. For once in our lives, we've allowed God to be God. I hope we go on doing it. We've listened to what the all-wise one says. And we've responded. We've trusted. We've received his salvation. Have you done that? Or are you still going to do it by yourself? Well, if you're going to do it by yourself, then you've got to push Jesus right out the way. And you've got to face God by yourself. Don't do that. If you want to come near to God, then seek him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can bring us to God. Be encouraged here that he rewards those who seek him, who are honest about this. Admit, you can't do it by yourself. You can't make yourself right with God. You can't buy God's love, but you can receive it freely and fully through Christ Jesus. Look at this man Enoch here. He loved God, we're told, and he walked with God, and God was pleased with him. Why? Because he had faith. He didn't have all the privileges that you have. Enoch was peering into the future. He was hearing the few things that God was telling him about what the Lord Jesus Christ was going to do, and he was holding on to God's promises. And he was walking with God in the midst of a very dark age before the flood. But you live in the full blaze of a gospel day. You see what the Lord has done. And you can walk with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can draw near to him. You can enjoy him every step of the way. He'll satisfy you with himself. Maybe, or probably certainly, unlike Enoch, you won't just walk out one day and go straight into heaven. But you'll walk through life with God, and he'll receive you through death into heaven. God will take all who are trusting in Jesus, who have that faith in Jesus, into his heavenly kingdom. He's pleased with them for Jesus' sake. You don't have to live in order to make God love you. You live the life of faith because he does. And that's liberating. That's why all these giants of the Old Testament were able to do these things. Not because they were trying to make God love them. They knew that God did love them. And they lived their lives out by faith in this God who loved them and who had promised that he would give his son for them. Well, you've seen it. Where do you stand? Do you stand in faith in the promises of God? Or are you going to turn your back? The view's nice out there. It's better here. Come and find Jesus Christ. Trust him. Ask him to be your Lord, to be your Saviour, to bring you to God, to wash you of your sin, clothe you in his righteousness, and make you acceptable to God so that his pleasure and his favour rests on you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that whilst you've shut every other door to us to pleasing you, you've opened this great door of faith in your Son. Thank you that he is the one who brings us to you, accepted, washed, forgiven, clothed, secure, qualified. We just pray, Father, that you will strip away the false hopes that we have, a reliance on a past performance, a reliance on our reputation, reliance on the things that we've done, reliance on religious duties. And you will show us Jesus, the one who loved his people and was willing to give himself for them, the one who was stripped so that we could be clothed, who was cursed so that we could be blessed, the one who was cast out so that we could be gathered in, when we became poor so that we could be made rich. Oh, Father, why do we despise your grace? Help us to understand this and then live out lives of powerful, living faith in the light of the fact that you have loved us in Christ Jesus. Help us to be able to say that the lives we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.